This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
On this day after Christmas, the routines of about 800,000 federal employees are being impacted by the partial federal government shutdown. Many people on the job will have to wait until after the shutdown ends to get paid again. Speaking to reporters after calling the troops on Christmas Day, President Trump says the shutdown will continue until he gets full funding for the border wall he wants.
We're getting $25 billion. It's already approved, but that's for everything. That's for Homeland Security. That includes, as we say, the bells and whistles. We have a lot of drones, a lot of everything in there. Plus, we have some wall money in there. But we want the wall money to be increased because I want to finish it.
Retailers having their best holiday sales in 6 years, according to early data. A report from MasterCard says Americans spent over $850 billion this season. This is USA Radio News.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, we promise you'll get better parts, better prices every day. Our stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. And our friendly, well-trained professionals are standing by to help. So stop in and see how five simple words drive everything we do. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection ordering an immediate medical assessment of over 700 children being held in El Paso. Reports are the action comes after a second child from Guatemala died while in U.S. custody. Each child is to get an initial assessment. Any child that's ill or injured will be taken to a hospital for further assessment. There were Christmas messages issued by the White House and the Vatican yesterday, and USA Radio's Wendy King tells us of one more.
There was also one from Queen Elizabeth.
Even with the most deeply held differences, treating the other person with respect and as a fellow human being is always a good first step towards greater understanding.
The 92-year-old queen has been delivering Christmas messages since her coronation in 1952. Her grandfather, King George V, gave the first broadcast message by a reigning monarch in 1932. I'm Wendy King.
And this is USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
The partial government shutdown will go on through the holiday. USA Radio's Robin Walensky reports.
No palm trees, Florida sunshine, or ocean breezes for President Trump this Christmas, as he will be staying in Washington, D.C., working during the partial government shutdown. The president refusing to cave on his campaign promise to build a border wall. Here's the president in a recorded White House message.
The only thing that's going to stop that is great border security with a wall.
Democrat Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor.
We arrived at this moment because President Trump has been on a destructive two-week temper tantrum, demanding the American taxpayer pony up for an expensive and ineffective border wall that the president promised Mexico would pay for.
Over 400 people were killed and scores of others are still missing and presumed dead after a tsunami struck Indonesia on Saturday night. With more, here's John Clements.
A volcanic underwater landslide caused this tsunami, sending a 10-foot-high wave of water over Sunda Strait between the islands of Java and Sumatra that connects the Java Sea to the Indian Ocean. Rescue work is being hampered by debris on the roadways. Vernon Brewer of World Help says people are being warned to stay away from the coastline.
The fear is it's the volcano is still active, and so they're fearing that it could erupt again and create more tsunamis.
I'm John Clemens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Bill Martinez live.
Is here 6 minutes after the top of the hour. And for more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. The president of the Colson Center and Breakpoint co-host, John Stone Street, is with us. Merry Christmas, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Hey, what a great time, you know, this time of year, of this season. You know, I was thinking about this, John. Of all the holidays that we celebrate in this country, there is just something incredibly special, and I think you have to thank God for it, because, you know, whether it's Easter, you know, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, whatever it is, those are one day activities or over a weekend kind of thing. But here, and especially this year, what do we got? Almost 6 weeks of, you know, Christmas and getting into it. And I know some people might say, what do you mean 6 weeks? It's been going on for months. Right around Halloween, you know, we started seeing, you know, Christmas decorations up in the malls and all that stuff, everybody getting an early jump on it. But unlike any other holiday, I mean, we've got weeks to really get ready, again, to remember what it meant, you know, for Jesus, for God to give us Jesus, to have God amongst us. You know, to touch this time of year, you talk about a gift that keeps on giving, right?
Well, it is. I mean, in the church calendar, you know, there was a season set aside to prepare for Christmas, kind of like Lent is a preparation for Easter. A lot of churches don't follow that calendar, or a lot of, you know, we might have Advent calendars here or there, but Advent really is a time kind of like Lent of repentance, of really reflecting in on the promises that were made to the nation of Israel and why Jesus' coming was necessary. And these are important things, because otherwise we will tend to kind of see, you know, Jesus as kind of a, you know, a little baby in a manger, a very nice little gift to the world, which of course, all of that's true, but it misses the fullness that this was the pivotal event in history, the incarnation. In fact, C.S. Lewis said that the incarnation is the central miracle proclaimed in the Bible. That, in other words, if God really became man, then it's what the entire history of the world has been about. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's great to have weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, of decoration and fun and music. My daughters, they want to start listening to Christmas music around August. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've got to hold them.
Those are my kind of girls, because I'm listening to Christmas music in March and April. The kids are going, Dad, it's March or April. What are you doing?
It's March or April. Yeah. They want to do that, but we just don't want to miss that it's not just a fun event. It's not just a holiday event. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we can be lost into commercialization and so on, but that really this is a defining moment of human history. That
really
this is the center of it all right here. It gives meaning to every other moment in human history, and so yeah, it is a great time of year from all of those standpoints.
Well, I like what this one deacon had to say over the weekend. He says, you know, I find myself living in two realms during this season. One is remembering that Jesus came over 2,000 years ago, and the other realm is that Jesus is coming back any moment now. And I thought, well, you know, you're exactly right. You know, that you have that one foot in that arena that remembers Christ and 2,000 plus years ago, what Jesus meant to this world in, you know, coming to redeem it, to really give to us an inheritance of goodwill, you know, toward one another and peace on earth. I mean, that is just absolutely awesome. And then, of course, here we also live in the reality that we're not quite there yet, but that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will come and he will reign over all. And at that time, all that we know that is within us that screams out, John, in our inner being that says, hey, we're missing the mark, and this is the way it should be. And for those moments during this holiday season, outside of the, you know, the tinsel and the Christmas music and those moments of sober spiritualism, we're able to maybe grasp, even for a moment, what Christmas truly is all about.
Yeah, well, let's pray to that end. I mean, yeah. That's you know, it's I think it's more and more difficult in a lot of different ways. You know, to remember that, I think for many of us, you know, Christmas is a shopping season. You know, with maybe some Jesus mentions on the weekend and on the radio. I mean, we did a breakpoint recently and on the worst Christmas music. You know, just because you know some of this stuff, like, you know, yeah, they do know it's Christmas in Africa because, you know, African was a Christian continent for a really long time. I mean, mm-hmm. You have these kind of really ridiculous Christmas songs and that are playing incessantly over and over and over and over. And you've got, of course, the sales and the commercialism and the marketing and so on. And you got the family stress, and then you've got the everything else. It's got to be something you got to be intentional about. And,
exactly.
And that's why for our family, basically using the church calendar to hold tight mm-hmm. to Advent and
exactly.
to go through some of those exercises, because I think that's something that we forget is culture teaches us as much by its rhythms as it does by its messages. It puts us in a rhythm that's contrary to the gospel, and so you got to put yourself and your family in a better rhythm, and this
exactly.
is an opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the culture is so invaded with all this secularism that we really miss out on the true gift of Christmas. And, you know, John, congratulations, you know, to you and your family to hold true. And I know there's other people, many millions of people. You know, I get emails. I hear how people are praying for the holiday, participating in the Advent season. And I think that's awesome. And we need more of that. And we need to be able to talk, you know, more about our experiences during this Advent season. Not because we want to boycott some song, you know, that suddenly has become a problem for someone and, you know, whatever. I mean, that stuff's going to fall where it's going to fall. You know, the big loss is that God himself gave us the greatest gift of all in his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, if you give yourself some time and just ponder on what that means, and if you were given the situation where you were the father and you had to sacrifice your own son for a bunch of knuckleheads that you didn't necessarily know, that, you know, blasphemed you and didn't respect you, you know, what would you offer?
Well, I would say no. I mean, I love you guys, but not my son. And I think a lot of us feel that way. So, and also to realize too that biblically speaking, it's not just on. This is going to reverse the curse, and I think that that's one of the things too. Kind of coming out of the full message of Scripture, it's not just how I can become a Christian. It's not just how God can save that knucklehead over there. As good as it is, I mean, if that's all there was to this whole story, that'd be something. But this really is the pivotal event in human history. This is what connects the beginning of the story, the creation, with the new creation, what we read at the end of the story. You know, this is what Isaac Watts was, I think, trying to say when he talks about that Christ's blessings are spread as far as the curse is found. So as wide as creation is, as wide as the fall, and the impact of the incarnation ultimately and the restoration of all things, that's as wide as that. I mean, mm-hmm. this is is how, you know, in the great stories, the great myths of history, you know, you have this beginning, something goes wrong and something fixes it. Well, this is that same thing, but it's not a myth. It's the story of the entire cosmos.
Exactly.
That, you know, this ensures the reign of Christ for all times and all things being made new. So, you know, that's why this is so important. And it's so much like God to do these massive things in the world and in our own lives through such small means, you know, in a little town and a little, you know, stable and little manger. I mean, you just kind of go through that and say, this is how the whole story is going to be fixed. That's pretty amazing.
It really is. He's the president of the Colson Center and Breakpoint co-host. More from John Stone Street after this.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com. Attendance is free. That's acs2018.com.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UnveilingThem.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Back with the American
live just the way you like us, fresh and independent. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. John Stone Street continues with us, the president of the Colson Center and Breakpoint co-host. John, this country was in mourning, and the effects of the passing of George H.W. Bush, quite profound. And I found it quite interesting that we could get out of our politics for a moment as best as we could right now, all things considered, and really, you know, pause and consider the legacy of this former president.
Well, I hope we don't miss it. I mean, there was an awful lot of virtue signaling that went on during that week. I mean, you know, there was to a group of people who at one time hated and ridiculed George H.W. Bush, suddenly he was a really convenient way to attack the current president. And that's missing it. What we can actually learn from this week. It was unfortunate that we saw so much of that, because what we actually, if you kind of back out of the way and look at it without political lenses on, there's this idea that theologians call common grace, and that means that there are these eternal truths about life in the world as God made them that are still available to us, even though we're fallen, even though we've fallen away from God in our sin. This is what the truths that are written on our hearts, as Paul puts it, are the things we can't not know, as one philosopher once put it. And I think that's what we saw last week. I talked about this on Breakpoint, our daily commentary, because, you know, what we saw was a nation really celebrate that life is best lived in service of a cause greater than ourselves. We saw the celebration of lifelong married love, the beautiful relationship that George Bush had with his bride Barbara. We saw the celebration of strong family, and how that a strong family can actually lead to blessing, you know, the world beyond your family, and also all about sacrifice and, you know, that sort of thing. And you kind of look at our larger cultural picture, Bill, what you see is that those are four things that are widely discredited, dismissed, or attacked right now, right?
Exactly. I mean,
that there is such a thing as lifelong married love. Nobody takes that seriously anymore. That we should live life for a great cause as opposed to just live for the moment, do what we want, get what we want out of life when we can. You know, family is being redefined, you know, culturally to legislatively. I mean, you have these four things. No four things have been more widely attacked than those four things, culturally speaking, whether it's politically or you know, through film or story or, you know, whatever. And yet, those things could not be suppressed. I mean,
exactly.
You know, as good as humans are at suppressing these eternal truths, those things bubbled up, and as we remember this life. I mean, look, I don't agree with everything that George H.W. Bush said or did. I didn't agree with all of his policies. I'm probably more conservative than him in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, those were good things that the whole world couldn't deny. I think it tells us a lot about, hey, these truths are actually in the world, like gravity. You can deny gravity, but you can't step off a roof and not hit the ground. You can deny the good of lifelong married love and the beauty of family, but you can't deny them and then try to live without the consequences. What we saw is that these truths are baked into our human hearts, and that's why we spent all last, or a couple weeks ago, celebrating those things.
Exactly. No, you're exactly right. And as you say, these truths become self-evident to such a degree that it's inarguable. I mean, what can you do? And the other thing is that I thought was so powerful about these truths, John, that you're referring to, is that you talk about something that unifies us. I mean, for a moment, we started coming together, and this has been the heart's cry of many from coast to coast across our great country, of what is it going to take to bring us back together? And as you say, and I'm with you, I hope we do not lose the value and really the teaching opportunity that even as George H.W. Bush left this earth, and what he left behind in his legacy and in his memory, and how people spoke of him. They spoke of these undeniable truths and qualities that nobody could argue about. I know that some pundits tried to use some of the things to beat up President Trump. So big what? You know, that's just as part of the daily culture right now. But these truths are, as you say, self-evident. And these are the truths that unite us. These are the truths that our founding fathers referred to. And these are, I guess you might say, when we focus and embrace these truths, maybe that's when our better angels come out. What do you think?
Well, I think so. And I think these are not just four truths that are make your life better, although they do. But they're really four truths without which it's going to be really hard to build a sustainable culture or civilization. And that's why it's I think it's so important to highlight these four. That if
well, they reflect God's glory. You know, when you think about
it,
John, they really do. That's God. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it's really hard to imagine a culture, a society that has a future in which everyone is a narcissist and living for themselves.
It's
certainly hard. We've seen what happens in communities where marriage breaks down, where dads aren't around to take care of their kids and to invest in them and teach long-term lessons. When that doesn't happen, then you see what happens in communities where the vast majority of marriages fail and people are raised without dads and so on. And so, you know, these are things that are, again, as built into the world as gravity is. And so I think it's like, you know, these truths, people, I've heard people compare these to like trying to push down beach balls under the surface of the pool.
Right.
You can push them down, but they pop up. And you can push one down here, but the one over there is going to pop up. And it just felt like these eternal truths were popping up all over the place the week we were remembering President George H.W. Bush.
Exactly. Well, you also pointed out something in a recent publication regarding Lauren Daigle, and I really feel for her situation, but I think this is something for all of us to learn, you know, especially for those that find themselves in the limelight. You know, there is a reason that the Bible warns us about positions of leadership, and maybe being in leadership too soon and being ill-prepared in terms of a lack of a foundation and fortification and knowing really what you believe. I mean, Paul says we should be ready in and out of season to give the reason for our hope. And Lauren Daigle, I think, is doing some soul searching as a result of the predicament she found herself in.
Well, we live in a culture in which we don't usually elevate leaders. We elevate celebrities. And oftentimes, you know, these celebrities don't even have much of a say in that. So I really feel for Lauren Daigle. A lot of people really were harsh on her because of a response that she gave to the question after being on Ellen. I think it was a podcast that asked her, you know, is homosexuality a sin? And she really hedged on that. And of course, you know, a lot of people threw her under the bus. But you know, here's what we need to understand. Lauren Daigle, by the way, is Rolling Stone back in September said that she was bigger than Drake and Ariana Grande. I mean, she's an amazing talent. She's really a very incredible. She's an incredible singer, Grammy nominated, and so on and so on and so on. But she's not a, you know, theologically trained leader, as far as I know. And I kind of want to give her a kind of the benefit of the doubt, simply because a lot of pastors have been asked that on national television, who should have been prepared, and they fumbled on it. You know, I think of you know, when Joel Osteen was asked, very different. Exactly. I remember when Rick Warren was asked, he nailed it. I mean, he knew it was going to be a question, and he was ready to articulate it, and he was ready to take the heat because of it. And so a lot of people threw Lauren Daigle under the bus. We didn't, other than to say a couple things. Number one is we do live in a culture in which celebrity trumps preparation, celebrity trumps leadership, and that's really unfortunate. I mean, we can see that at every layer of culture, where sometimes we confuse leadership with celebrity, and we shouldn't do that as Christians. But also, here's the thing we need to know. To not be prepared for that question is unfortunate in two ways. Number one is you got to know the question's coming. You got to know.
Exactly. Exactly.
And for all of us that are grumpy if that Lauren Daigle didn't answer right on national television, you got to know the question's coming at Christmas dinner this year. Like, what are you going to say? I mean, it's not just her that's going to be put on the spot. Every single one of us is going to be put on the spot. And we might be put on the spot in a situation where our career depends on it, or our, you know, livelihood depends on it, or a friendship or a social acceptance depends on it. Are we going to be ready? Are we going to be able to both have an articulate response that's also not compromising of the truth? So before we throw her under the bus, that's the first thing we need to realize.
Well, John Stone Street, as always, appreciate the time. Have a Merry Christmas. A Happy New Year. We'll be talking to you in 2019 again. He's the president of the Colson Center and Breakpoint co-host, John Stone Street, on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, John. This is Bill Martinez, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse is passionate about redefining youth through revolutionary products. Visit BillMartinezLife.com for products like Lumines from Dr. Nathan Newman. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products by renowned physicians to help with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Giampapa, Jeunesse's medical advisor, has designed several products helping the body perform better through naturally occurring plant compounds. Jeunesse products come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See it all for yourself at BillMartinezLive.com. Click on the Jeunesse banner. Why not start today to live, feel, and be young again?
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
On this day after Christmas, the routines of about 800,000 federal employees are being impacted by the partial federal government shutdown. Many people on the job will have to wait until after the shutdown ends to get paid again. Speaking to reporters after calling the troops on Christmas Day, President Trump says the shutdown will continue until he gets full funding for the border wall he wants.
We're getting $25 billion. It's already approved. But that's for everything. That's for Homeland Security. That includes, as we say, the bells and whistles. We have a lot of drones, a lot of everything in there. Plus, we have some wall money in there. But we want the wall money to be increased because I want to finish it.
Retailers having their best holiday sales in 6 years, according to early data. A report from MasterCard says Americans spent over $850 billion this season. This is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We don't see color here. We just love America. Bill Martinez, live.
But, hey, in this radio show, we mean it. It's not about color. It's just about, you know, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, the content of your character. What are you all about? And this is the way I was raised by a World War II veteran who was a medic and in the European theater with General Patton. That's the way he raised us. It wasn't about the color of our skin. In fact, I got to tell you, it was quite unnerving for me in my freshman year in college when all of a sudden we were faced with the riots happening in Los Angeles, and all of a sudden there was this rise of racial injustice that was going on. And now I'm not saying that in such a way like it was meaningless. I'm just saying is that when you grow up in a culture and you don't realize about culture, you know, about color, it's kind of like when you're a little kid and, you know, little kids are such that they, you know, they, they grow up and they don't know, they really don't know about color. All they know about is, hey, look, you know, they're just my friend. It's who I color with, you know, it's who I, you know, make pictures with. It's not that kind of deal. But anyway, that, the song just reminds me of that, and it frustrates me that, you know, here we are in the 21st century, and we're still having that debate. And I want you to know, when it comes to that, the ignorant side of that debate, I'm with America. I'm with the red, white, and blue that acknowledges Americans and not the color of people's skins. It's just, hey, look it, come here, be a positive part of the great American dream and go at it. William Mattson Law is with us right now, and to get back on point here, we're honored to have William with us. He is a book author, JFK assassination researcher, investigator, and lecturer. You know, we have approached, and more than approached, we have studied this topic together, the JFK assassination. I was hopeful that Donald Trump, when he released part of the heretofore information and some of the documents that have been held under lock and key regarding the assassination, he kind of teased us and said he was going to, you know, release everything. He released partially, still held back some thousands of documents still that I think, you know, really give us a true perspective of what's going on. Kind of interesting because he's being faced right now and dealing with things that are, you know, filled with redaction and mystery and everything. And as we've talked about before, in the absence of fact, opinion rules. So even to this day, you know, here we are all these years later, decades later, and there's still so much mystery about the JFK assassination. William, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us.
Hello, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to say thanks for, you know, the book, At the Cold Shoulder of History, the chilling story of a 21-year-old Navy hospital corpsman who stood at the shoulder of JFK during the Bethesda autopsy. So, you know, for you, you have, you've been pursuing this. I guess maybe some people may say you're like Don Quixote chasing windmills here, you know, trying to chase down this deal. But clearly there is an antithetical force, a very dark and very powerful source that doesn't want you to know the truth about the JFK assassination.
I've been chasing it for 30 years, writing about it for the last 25 and interviewing people. That's been an extraordinary adventure.
Right. Well, we had interviewed earlier this week the author about Dorothy Kilgallen and, you know, the mystery around her and other authors and investigative reporters who came so close to discovering who, in fact, killed JFK. And there is a clear contrast, certainly, with what you have studied and what you have researched all these years and what the Warren Commission would want us to believe.
Absolutely.
So where are we now? Bring us up to date in, you know, here we are, 1918. What have you been able to discover?
Well, this last particular book I've done, At the Cold Shoulder of History, in collaboration with Jim Jenkins, came about because I first interviewed Jim some more than 20 years ago for the book I did In the Eye of History, which is basically an oral history of what took place in the Bethesda morgue. Mm-hmm. And of all the people that I'd interviewed for that book, he was the most reluctant to not to talk to me, but just to get to know over a period of time. Mm-hmm. And shall I go back and tell you my first meeting with him?
Yeah, please. Please, go ahead.
I hadn't read very much about him. He'd been in a couple of books from years before, but nothing really lengthy about him in these books. And I tracked him down to where he was living when I decided to do this book. And it took me several phone calls before I even worked up the courage to ask him if I could come interview him. I told him I wanted to do this book of oral history, that if he talked to me about this, I would not put my own spin on it, that I would let him speak for himself. And I think that's what intrigued him enough that I called him. And I remember on our first conversation, he said, you know, the Warren Report was nothing but a show.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he agreed to see me and I went to New Orleans, you know, I just had this sinking feeling that he wasn't going to show. I never sleep well before an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I traveled some ways from where I live in Oregon to meet him. And I got there and I'd had this whole scenario in my head about how I was going to conduct this thing. I was going to take the day with him and we were going to have this wonderful conversation. I'd find a nice place in the French Quarter where you'd have a leisurely breakfast, and then I would go into this thing. And that's not what happened at all. Mm-hmm. I had this new camera because I wanted to film it all. Mm-hmm. And so I hadn't had much experience with it. So I set it up, and I get this call, and Jim says, "Hi, William, I'm in the lobby." So I go down to the lobby, and my fears melt away that he's not going to show up. And mm-hmm. here's this guy. He stands there. He's about, I don't know, 6'3", 6'4", shock of white hair, beard to match, mm-hmm. crisply dressed, hands deep in his pockets looking at a picture. And he, as I came toward him, he came and faced me and said, "Well, hello, William." And we decided we'd go have some breakfast over at a little diner that was connected to the hotel where I was at. Mm-hmm. And so we sat there, and he starts to tell me about his experiences. And after a while, I wanted to get it all for the camera. I wanted it to be fresh. And so I said, "Well, let's go up to the room and let's film this." And he looked at me. It was probably 10 seconds, but it seemed like an eternity. And he said, "You know, I would just as soon sit here and talk to you about it, William, without you filming it." Mm-hmm. And I must have looked crestfallen because he stared at me and then he said, "All right, William, I'll do it for you." So I jumped up from the table and said, "Great, let's go do it." Mm-hmm. I got him up to the room. Now, I'd had this plan of I'm going to have this nice leisurely day. We'll get to know each other. And he sits down in a chair and he says, "My wife is going to be back in about 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So now I know that I'm not going to have very much time at all. And how I try to interview is put people at ease and not, you know, start right away with, you know, tough questions, just kind of ease into the whole thing. I didn't have a chance to do that this time. And so I knew now that I was on a limited time frame. And so I had a rough set of questions that I scribbled out. And so I just sat there, turned the camera on, and just asked the question, get the answer, asked the question, get the answer. And it turned out to be he stayed for 2 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do you have to take a break, go tell the wife, say, "Hey, look, I need another 45 minutes or so to do this, huh?" Yeah.
No, he just stayed right with me. But the interesting part was when I was asking him about Humes and Boswell, I think the doctors that were doing the autopsy. He was there to help. He would talk to me about when they started to take the brain in the head.
I'll tell you what, before we get into deep detail on that, we've got about 10 seconds. We've got to go to break. So we have more from William Mattson Law. We're talking the JFK assassination. Stay with us. I'm Bill Martinez, just about 18 before the top of the hour right now.
Ask yourself, where do you pay for health care? Are you single? Do you pay more than $199 a month? Are you a couple? Do you pay more than $249 a month? Do you have a family? Do you pay more than $529 a month? Yes, you can serve the entire family with health care for only $529 a month. Sign up at any time of the year, pick your own doctor and hospital, ask any questions in our live chat box. It takes 2 minutes to find out how to save. Go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. SourceCon score total visits.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Whether it's that ugly sweater you'll never wear or that book you'll never read, we've all received unwanted holiday gifts. Many Americans are now choosing to avoid these gifting gaffes by turning to new ways of giving. The latest Bank of America Trends in Consumer Mobility report found nearly half of all Americans are using person-to-person payment services, with more than 80% of those users saying they would gift money to others through P2P. This trend could show why the majority of Americans believe an entirely cashless society will happen within their lifetime. Nikki Katz, Head of Digital Strategy and Emerging Experiences, Bank of America.
It's exciting to see the growth and adoption of person-to-person payments, especially during the rush of the holiday season. At Bank of America, we use these trends to shape future payment innovations and help clients better manage their financial lives.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/mobilityreport. That's bankofamerica.com/mobilityreport.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
Well, it's the things we believe in passionately, ladies and gentlemen. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Our conversation with William Mattson Law continues. We're talking about his latest book, At the Cold Shoulder of History. Imagine. It is the chilling story of a 21-year-old Navy hospital corpsman who stood at the very shoulder of JFK during the Bethesda autopsy. Before the break, William was starting to describe in his conversation with Jim Jenkins as an interview and trying to, as he's been a researcher for decades into the JFK assassination. And here he is, he's talking to the Navy Hospital medical corpsman who was at the shoulder of JFK during the Bethesda autopsy. And as we went to break, we were just talking about Jim's description of the removal of the president's brain.
Well, as you may know, there's controversy because his partner in the morgue that night was Paul O'Connor, who said when he looked into the cranium, the brain was all blown out of his head. And there's further corroboration for this that I've done over the years that I got from one of the FBI agents that was instructed by Hoover to stay with the body. Mm-hmm. But now we're talking about Jim, and he wasn't right at the autopsy table when the casket was brought in. He was in the atrium, and so he was later at the table. Now he's standing there next to the president's body at the right shoulder, mm-hmm. and he's watching the doctor. He said that Humes handed the brain to after it was taken from the head, was given to Dr. Boswell. Boswell gave it to Jim, and they walked over to what they call a brain bucket, which is just a stainless steel bucket that has a gauze sling over it. And you put that in the formalin solution, and it hardens over a period of time. But they had a way of doing that in Bethesda where you know, your brain is not rattling around in your cranium. It's connected to your spinal cord and different arteries and things.
Right.
And you have to take that and clip that all off. And Jim said while he was standing there, he heard Dr. Humes make a statement. And the statement was, he looked at me and said, I think the statement was, okay, the damn thing fell out of my hand.
Wow.
And he said, the brain, when I was given the brain, he said, the arteries, he said, I was having trouble getting the needles into the arteries to put this solution into the brain. And he said, it looked like, you know, the vessels had constricted. And I said, well, what does that mean to you, Jim? He says, well, it looked like, you know, they had dried. And for that to happen, it looked like the brain had been out of the head for some time.
Mm-hmm. So this would have been something that would have been done previously in Texas, right?
Well, we don't know where that was done, but I've asked every person that I've interviewed that was in that autopsy room if they felt that the body had been tampered with, and mm-hmm. every single man said yes, they felt that the body had been gotten to before they ever received it in the Bethesda morgue. Mm-hmm.
So for the brain to fall out, as described by Dr. Hume, that's a warning flag. That says tampering, right?
That's a serious warning flag.
Right, right.
Normally, when you do a craniotomy, they have to, you know, split the top of your scalp, and then they peel that back, and then they take a bone saw and they cut around the skull, and then they take that portion off, and then the brain is covered by a thick membrane called the dura, and you have to cut into that, and then take a long handled pair of scissors and clip all the spinal cord and things like that to be able to take the brain out. So it's not going to just fall out into your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul O'Connor said that he didn't have to do any of that because the scalp was so extremely blasted that you know, and there was no brain. But Jim said that he didn't say he saw the brain in the head. He said he was handed a brain to infuse that night. He also said that there were, because of where he was shot, the president was shot in the head, that the bones had, you know, ripped open some of the scalp, and there were tears and maceration of the scalp, and it looked like to him that some of those tear lines had been surgically extended.
And why would they do that?
Well, if there was indeed a brain in the cranium, if you make the brain disappear, then the doctors won't be able to tell which direction the shots were fired. Normally, you would be able to tell, a trained medical person would be able to tell after examination, because a bullet goes in small and blows out big, blows a big hole out. So
again, the question is that evidence, here we've got the body being tampered with by evidence of these additional, you know, tears in the flesh or tears in the skull.
Right. Well, let's go back to Bethesda and what all of the doctors said at Parkland Hospital when they first saw the body.
Mm-hmm.
The president had a small wound in the back of his head, about the size of an orange. There was also a hole about the knot of the tie in his throat from a bullet that one of the nurses described as a small, ragged, round hole about the size of the end of your little finger.
Mm-hmm.
So you have those wounds. Now, what that looked like at Dallas, by the time the body reaches Bethesda Naval Hospital for autopsy, the wounds have now, the head wound now encompasses the back, the part of the right side, and some of the top of the head.
Mm-hmm.
The wound to the throat that Dr. Malcolm Perry put a small slit through to be able to put in a breathing tube,
mm-hmm.
Has now turned into a big, open, ugly, gaping gash.
Mm-hmm.
So the wounds are different than at Bethesda than they were at Parkland.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a some sort of hole in his back, a bullet wound in his back that they did not see at Parkland because they didn't turn the body over.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a tale of the body coming in different casket, which is a long story that we don't have time for, but I'm mm-hmm. now discussing the wounds.
Right.
We do this, and all this information, when I first interviewed Jim Jenkins, I almost fell on the floor when I heard this.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's one thing to read about it in someone else's book, but when you're sitting across a table and looking into a man's eyes while he tells you this, that's quite another thing.
And he's the eyewitness to all this.
He's the eyewitness to this.
Right.
And so I kept up my relationship with Jim over the years, and just talking to him every once in a while, and
And I kept nagging him over the years to go to a conference, you know, and he would always turn it down. Mm-hmm. And then when the 50th anniversary came around, I asked him again, and he decided he would. And I think he was taken aback when he went to the conference and saw so many people and was asked so many questions by people that he realized what he had to say was important. Mm-hmm. And so he told me, he said, I felt a little selfish after I had done this because I realized how much real interest there is in this. And he'd always felt that nobody would believe what he had to say.
Right. Now, when you talk about these conferences, for people that are not familiar with this, give them an idea of how many people like yourself, you know, do not believe in the Warren Commission, certainly don't believe in a single shooter theory, although the Warren Commission says it's fact. A good friend of mine, an attorney, who I used to work very closely with, you know, he says, oh, you're one of those conspirators, huh? And I said, no, I'm just somebody who continues to pursue the facts, and I'm not convinced the Warren Commission got it right.
Well, the Warren Commission didn't get it right, and they didn't really care about getting it right. What they cared about was issuing a report.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they did. Jim told me that at the end of our first interview, he said, you know, I came out of that autopsy room convinced that there were at least two shooters and possibly three. And he said, what I saw in that autopsy room bore no relationship to that report.
Right. How much experience did Jim have prior to that day?
He had done, what in his time at Bethesda, I think he said every fourth night he had the morgue duty. And mm-hmm. in the time that he did the morgue duty, he did 2 to 3 autopsies a night. So he had extensive training in autopsies.
So he's been there, done that. So, again, going back to what I asked earlier here, William, the people that attend these kind of conferences, how many people are we talking about? How long has this been going on?
Oh, it's been going on since the late 80s, early 90s. There's been several organizations that have held conferences. You get on an off year, you'll get 100 people. On an anniversary, you might get 300 people more. Mm-hmm. If you go down to the plaza on any given day, Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas, mm-hmm. you will find people that are just wandering around the area, just looking at you know, the overpass.
The book depository and all that.
The book depository, the street. There's an X in the street where the fatal headshot took place. People are extremely interested in this. Even after 55 years, people throughout the world want to know what happened to President Kennedy, and that's why I do the work I do, because I want to know, too.
Exactly. Well, you know, you've got to come back, and we've got to continue this conversation, because there's so much more in this story that needs to be discussed, and I appreciate all your hard work and dedication to this, because you want to know, I want to know, our listeners want to know. We continue to bring authors and people. I mentioned, I don't know that I mentioned the author by name, but Mark Shaw, his brand new book, Denial of Justice, goes into this well, particularly as it relates to Dorothy Kilgallen. Again, I thank you for your time and look forward to having you back. William Mattson Law and his book, his just released book, They're at the Cold Shoulder of History. This is Bill Martinez. This is a wrap for us. We'll see you mañana right here on the SDG Radio Network.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of